How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends, by the way, with me, Tom Allen.
Who is wearing a lovely khaki green jumper and looks like he's in the military.
Thank you.
And me, Susie Ruffle, who hasn't washed her hair this morning.
Oh, please. Stop it. You and your hair.
We can see each other, which is very rare because we're doing this on a different platform today.
We're doing this on one of the video platforms.
So we can see each other, which is very strange because I've never met Tom in real life. So it's...
Isn't that strange? People don't realise that. And actually, I've just hidden myself for you. That's brave, isn't it? So I'm just looking at you now. You know, it's got the dot, dot, dot. I have to do that when I'm doing a corporate or when I'm with my therapist. That's when I have to take it.
Oh, right.
Because otherwise I'm spending money just talking to myself about my problem. Just sit in the mirror.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a lot cheaper. How are you, Tom?
Well, I'm okay. Thank you, Suze. I'm okay. I bought some light bulbs that go up and down with the from my phone. That's not even an advert. I won't tell you what brand it is.
Well, that makes it sound like you've bought something from your phone, which makes it sound like you're the last person in the world to realise about internet shopping.
Have you heard you can buy things from your phone? if I'd said that to my nan, who was born in 1920, died in 2001, I think, she would be like, "What?"
Yeah, totally. What? Yeah, that'd be because they would think of a phone as
a landline.
Yeah,
she like we're starting to have mobile phones, which is like, oh, it's. I mean, she would have just been like, wow.
Did your nan have a telephone voice?
A bit. Not, a little bit. I'm trying to think because of her Irish accent, I could never tell if it was what accent was going on. But what did your nan?
My nanny Ruffle had the. Like, such an extreme telephone voice.
Oh, really?
She had a very Portsmouth accent. Why wouldn't she? But she'd answer the phone and go, "Hello." And you'd be like, "Oh, all right, Nan." She'd be like, "Oh, all right, love. You're all right."
Oh, that's...
But yeah, telephone voices.
Well, even the landline, because sometimes I'm on...
I don't trust it when the landline rings.
You can't. When the landline comes to ring. It's Mum and Dad still rely on it heavily, I would say, for all manner of calls. Although Dad quite likes to FaceTime his friends now. And they WhatsApp each other about their vaccines. It's been a stress for them. Some of them have got it, some of them haven't. Oh,
that is stressful, actually.
Mum said, come off that WhatsApp group. That's not nice, not fair. It's not fair if people are gloating about their vaccine. We've still got the landline and it rings and it rings for ages as well. Like if you don't pick it up, it's not like a mobile, it doesn't go to
voicemail.
Yeah, within like six rings.
I never listen to my voicemails on my phone. Never. And I rang someone the other day and their voicemail message was, "Hi, this is me. I'm never gonna listen to a message, just text me." And I was like, why haven't I done that? Because I never listen.
I've got ones. I sort of save them almost for a day when...
Yeah, the other day there was like, you have 15 new voices. And all of them was my dad going, all right, babe, this is me. Give us a ring. Hello, baby.
That sort of voice recording and also like things like Siri, I don't really trust either. No. I wouldn't use that.
All my robot can do is listen to me go... Play the Moana soundtrack, because it's all I'm listening to.
Oh,
have you listened to it, Tom? You would love the Moana soundtrack.
I think I have heard moments of it.
It's really good.
Okay, fine.
It's really joyous.
When friends of mine have had children, they've often got into Moana. Or maybe
this
is what
Moana's
I need.
Yeah, Moana's definitely a thing.
Oh, okay, fine.
A child?
For your new house?
For, yeah.
That's what you need.
Get a child. get a... yeah. Well, by the way, did I tell you... I've been gifted by the previous owners. They said, there's a trampoline in the back garden.
You did tell me this. Yeah, and, it's so funny.
They've also got a slide and some swings. And
you're kidding them.
And they've said, would I like to keep them? And I thought, well, everybody I know seems to be having children, is it a bit creepy to have, like, oh, the childless man with his...
No, I think it's like, oh, he's a gunkle.
Oh, do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I put a sign up.
I like the idea of coming to your house and getting, and like bringing a really cheap bottle of wine with me.
Is that the
end of the story? and then just drinking the better one that you have in. No, and then going and sitting on the swings and us having a chat.
Yeah, that's what I sort of see them like as like teenagers. The trampoline, I feel like, will be an ideas space for me. That's what I'm excited about.
What? Like you writing new material?
Yeah, like, woo! There's going to be a lot of trampoline-based material. There's the landline. It'll ring and ring. It'll ring and ring. Or... No.
Someone's going to answer it.
Or what's happening to my brother. I don't know if I should be confessing this trick that we have. Do other people do this? James has to ring for... Or I do the same if I'm out and about. Two rings, hang up, and then ring back, and then mum and dad know it's not a scammer. But Auntie Christine doesn't know that, and so they still pick up in case it's Auntie Christine.
Why don't they tell Auntie Christine?
Well, yeah, you'd think so, right? It's a bit... I don't know.
If anyone that's listening knows Auntie Christine, could you get in touch with her?
Get in touch, let her know in the PO box. Although maybe they have picked it up that time.
The idea of you having a trampoline is very wholesome, which I like.
Well, we were saying maybe this should be the theme of the episode, wholesome.
Yeah.
But maybe wholesome, we spell it H-O-L-E. H-O-L-E dash S-O-M-E.
That is, I think we should keep the W.
fine. sorry, that is what, after last episode, what, when we were talking about Kill the Midwife?
We were talking about Kill the Midwife, and I also think there was some sort of reference to fisting. I remember us mentioning that we thought Kiri, our friend, might be the only person that's still listening, and even she tweeted saying that she'd come off. Guys, it's even too much for me. It's too crude. I can't bear it.
Kiri was like, no way. You're probably
right. But some wholesome content, because you've got some tulips on your desk. That's very wholesome.
Some lovely tulips. I'm also thinking about getting a hyacinth.
Bouquet.
I was thinking maybe if I put it in a bucket, it could be my hyacinth bucket.
That's fun.
That would be fun, right? It's a bit of fun for people on social media. And
do you think you're going to get into gardening now that you have a garden soon?
I've always wanted to get in. Well, when I lived in the flat before, because people don't... Dad pointed this out because I don't talk about it in the book. There was a time when I lived outside of home.
No, I don't believe you.
It was a fantasy. it was on Sims. And I had... Like, there was a walkway in front of our flat. It was in Euston. And it was also a place where...
I remember you living there.
Did you come round?
I never came round, but I remember us being out and you going back to Euston.
I loved living there. Although there was a man who had a dog downstairs and it would shit on our doorstep, which is sometimes a little bit of an unpleasant way to start the day. But,
why didn't he sort that out?
Well, we would tell him. Well, I don't know if we would tell him. We were a bit frightened of him. It was also quite frightening.
Sure.
But I did. But it's a good experience. I did plant some sweet pea in the on the railings, because it was one of those ones where you walk out the door and that's like the walkway, but it's on the balcony. And we planted sweet pea, well, I did, and a camellia, lovely camellia bush, still going strong downstairs, and I had some hostas.
What's a hosta?
It's sort of like a leaf. It's just like a leafy thing.
Nice. So are you going to have a vegetable patch like your dad?
Oh, it would be nice to have a vegetable patch, wouldn't it?
So yeah, you could go around and everyone would say, oh, you know he grows all of his own veg.
Yeah, and I'd be like some sort of Alan Titchmarsh. Yeah.
You could start your own box that you deliver to people.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that thing when we all had boxes last year?
I mean, yeah, for like a month I had like an unbelievable amount of small apples to get through.
So many courgettes.
Oh.
Aubergines coming through the letterbox.
Non-stop. It felt like...
Well, I'm going to call the police.
Felt like a hate crime.
It felt like a hate crime. Or the opposite of a hate crime.
A love crime.
A love crime. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited for your new home.
Well,
when do you move in? In March?
Who knows?
Maybe no one knows.
Maybe March. Yeah, that's the idea.
I'm very into gardening on my little balcony.
Tell me, now, we're talking about wholesome things that make us feel good. You really like gardening. Your balcony is beautiful, a lovely urban oasis.
Thank you for saying that, Tom.
Thank you. I've always said that about you. And tell us what you've just done.
I've just planted 50 daffodils and 50 tulips.
What? 100 bulbs?
100 bulbs. Do you think that's too many?
I think it's just right. But
do you? I couldn't work out whether it was an insane amount for one balcony.
No, all in your like.
Oh, in my different pots and things. Yeah,
pots and things. Yeah, I think.
Well, I've got pots going around the balcony that are like stuck on with these like little grippy things at the bottom, and I spend my life watching them and going, "Oh my god, is there any way that they could fall off the balcony and kill 7 or 8 people?"
That's always the fear, isn't it? That's always my catastrophizing. It's like it's never just falls on the ground and smashes, which is what's most likely to happen.
Yeah, sure.
You'd have to. I think the pot would have the tulips would have to hit somebody in quite an hour.
Quite hard.
You know.
Yeah. Sure.
But that's the sort of way I.
And everybody else does it. But I'm obviously obviously it'd be my balcony.
Is it because we watch a lot of dramas where like it's one inciting incident like that that sets off the whole plot?
That's life, isn't it? When you think about like great things or dreadful things happen, it's like, well, it's just one thing was the catalyst.
That's the catalyst in life, isn't it?
And maybe it was me planting 100 bulbs.
If only she hadn't planted so many bulbs. It would have been so heavy and killed.
Well, that's the theory, exactly.
Yeah, the vicar. Yes. This is very true, but I think that'll be okay. Even if they don't all come up, some of them will come up and that'll be part of the joy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So they're all planted now. They're all tucked in their beds.
That's good. Have you seen any?
No, I only did it. I did them like maybe the first week of Jan or just before the first week of Jan.
Oh, that's good.
Well, and so,
have you had a look? There might be some signs.
There's no signs just yet. I had a look this morning, but it's a bit rainy as well today. So
that's good. That's good.
Good for them. It's all good for them.
Reminds me of one of my favourite films, which I did put on my Instagram post the other day when I put my daffodils up, which is the film Being There. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Peter Sellers and Shirley MacLaine about Chauncey the gardener, about a man who's never left the house he lived in from being a child, and he always worked as a gardener. And one day the house gets sold. It's all explained in the beginning of the film. And then he ends up wandering the streets, and then rich Shirley MacLaine runs him over, takes him back, and he's got all this wisdom because all he's ever done is gardening. It's a lovely film. In fact, everybody should watch it immediately. I insist.
But again, something terrible has happened. He was run over.
Oh,
if she hadn't been out that day, what would have happened?
Yeah. She runs him over in her limousine, but it's only just like a slight bump. It's not like
fine.
It's not like, you know, that's the difference with films these days, isn't it?
It's not like Misery.
It's not like he's not like on the front of the windscreen as the limousine courses through an intersection and he's then thrown on the floor. He's just like knocked over and hurts his knee.
Fine.
He goes, please don't tell anybody. Please don't sue us. I'll take you back to my house and look after you. Which is a bit like Misery, but it's the opposite of Misery because they're really rich. And
she doesn't tie him to the bed.
She doesn't tie him to the bed and make him write a book. So that's good, isn't it?
That's very good.
But it's a lot of Being There. Watch it. You'll like it, Suze.
Okay, I will. I'll watch it.
It's one of my favourite films. And made by the same man is Harold and Maude. Have you ever seen Harold and Maude?
No.
Okay. That's everybody's homework this week. Being There and Harold and Maude. Honestly, that is exactly
this what is basically BBC Bite Size.
I would like to do I feel like I should be asked to do a BBC Bite Size series.
What would you do?
I've got nothing. I've got nothing to use. But I feel like I would be a good person to explain. Yeah, sad films in the 1970s. Is that something that children need to learn about?
I would say so. My friend Hannah Fry is doing maths all week on BBC Two for Bite Size.
Oh, is she? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm thinking of watching just so that I can understand sort of long division or something.
I was watching Sesame Street way past the time when I was supposed to watch Sesame Street.
Sorry, I think you were about to say last week. I was watching Sesame Street.
I would love to watch Sesame Street. Oh, watch anything with the Muppets in it. That's going to cheer us up, isn't it? That's a nice
thing. But the only crossover is Kermit, isn't it? Between the Muppets and Sesame Street.
Pigs in Space, is that Sesame Street? No, that's the Muppets.
But is Kermit in Sesame Street?
Yeah, he does crop up in Sesame Street. He crops up sometimes. I think some of the characters did. They're like, oh yeah, we'll pop down and say hi. They weren't like...
do you think that the Muppets were on the roof? Did they have like a roof terrace and Sesame Street was downstairs?
Well, I think I think they were like their poor relations, weren't they, in a way?
Yeah.
They lived in like Skid Row. No, they didn't. Sesame Street is a bit sort of rougher end, isn't it?
I love it.
Did you ever watch Avenue Q?
Yes, I loved Avenue Q. It's so funny.
Did you go and see it? when it was
no,
on.
I've not. I've seen it on like a. I was about to say a video of it, but obviously I've watched it online.
What, when someone stands up in the middle of it?
Yeah, exactly. Like when they do like best bits of the show on some other show. We did songs from it at drama school.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because as I wonder with the listeners now, I am trained. I did train.
People might not realise it, but Susie's actually trained. Not like me, just, you know, finding my way. Susie's actually got a proper skill. And
I wouldn't go that far.
We've discussed it before, but 18th century dance, for example. That's not a skill normal people possess. That's your true value.
Well, I'm going to come to your new house and teach you to dance.
I'm going to keep space for it. I'm going to have the dining room table fold away.
We'll dance on that.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know,
idea.
My cousin Sophie, we once asked to leave a nightclub because she wouldn't stop dancing on the tables.
Well, I'm not surprised. She could fall.
she didn't care. She thought she was in Coyote Ugly.
Oh, yeah, they do that in that, didn't they? Yeah.
There's a lot of that sort of carry on.
That's nice that she was asked to leave. That sounds so polite.
I think it was more strong-armed to leave.
Get out.
Yeah. Okay, you've been told 3 times, you're going to have to leave.
I told you, get off the table. Break it. Oh, there was I remember doing Oops Upside Your Head at a party at the function room above the Churchill Theatre in Bromley.
Clang!
It was on the floor above the Central Library. Many of you will know it. And there was a birthday party when I was in the sixth form, and the girl whose birthday it was dancing on the table and she fell off. And that was a lesson to all of us.
Wasn't it just?
It was a joint birthday party, so the party wasn't cancelled. We carried on with Oops Upside Your Head.
How big is the Bromley Theatre? Is it really nice, the Churchill Theatre?
You know, I haven't been for years. Isn't that terrible?
But I drive past it all the time, but I love the idea. I think I did it with Josh on tour once.
I think it's maybe 800. It's not
that's
massive.
That's
600.
It's big enough.
Oh, yeah. It's like a nice size.
A nice size theatre. Are you missing performing, Tom?
I am a bit, actually. Just seeing people and being a bit, whenever I've done online gigs, I kind of go, oh, yes, I like people.
Yeah.
Do you miss people?
Yeah, I do. I miss being... Yeah, I really miss... I sort of missed it a bit, and then I've sort of gone up and down with how much I've missed sort of... Because, you know, being on the road can be quite... There's parts that I love, like turning up at new venues and people being... And knowing that, like, these people in this place that you've never been before are coming to see you, and you're going to go and find dinner somewhere, and that's sort of, always a bit of an adventure.
So lovely, yeah.
The driving is usually less fun.
Oh, yeah, the travel.
Or, like, the stress of trying to get somewhere, or, like, trains being cancelled, and then you're like, oh, how am I going to get here? Oh, I've only got this long, and all that sort of thing. But, the actual sort of performing and sort of chatting to audiences and seeing other stand-ups.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I really miss that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that sort of just going on a bill and seeing other gigs and seeing other gigs. All that stuff, yeah. It's what I was talking about how, like, I was kind of nostalgic for last year's lockdown.
Go on, how so? You know,
like, well, in the sense, I was like, oh, you know, we were just doing loads of cooking and I was exercising more. And
you were, like, drinking loads of juice.
Juicing all the time.
You were juicing like, constantly. Wow.
Constantly. I was a juicy queen. And, And then it was pointed out to me, like, you weren't happy then. You were really anxious. You were really miserable about everything. You were really worried. It wasn't...
You were quite anxious, and you were trying to write a book. It was quite...
It was quite stressful. And then it was pointed out to me, like, that's the human thing, of that we forget. Like, we're able to forget all the kind of negatives of a situation. Again, oh, of course, the sun was shining. We're just having a garden all day.
It's like when you look back at relationships.
Yes, that's a crucial...
Sometimes you look back at them... And you only see the bad. And sometimes you look back and you only see the good.
Yes.
And actually the truth is, obviously not for everybody, but some of the time you can be like, oh, it was a mixture of good and bad and there was a reason the relationship broke down.
Yes.
But it's so easy to sort of see things in rose-tinted glasses.
Because there's moments when you're together when you're like, oh, this is quite nice.
I think what you actually feel nostalgic for is the summer.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I think I would feel that in any year as well, like at this point.
Like, yeah, this kind of like just sunshine and feeling. I mean, it's quite... I quite like the winter usually, but even for me this year, it's like, oh geez, this is...
It's difficult, isn't it? It's so difficult. But
I remember running the other day in the rain, And it does, it did sort of make me feel like I was in sort of some sad film.
Yeah, that's not like or weddings.
Yes.
But other wholesome things you've been doing, Suze, you've you've been doing some ironing, but you don't like ironing, so you've taken it to a lady.
I've got a lady that does my ironing. Does that make me sound like a terrible... Do you remember when I used to talk about being working class on stage? I'm definitely not anymore.
Yeah, I can't wait for this new show.
I actually used to talk about my working class heritage before anyone gets very angry with me. It's very much... I don't think that I can be working class.
I think... Well, class is such a complicated thing, isn't it?
It is.
Also, like, it's perhaps a set... You know, like, I think... For rich people to go like, oh, I always do my ironing. It's like, it was a bit of a novelty for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to do your own ironing.
Did you see there's an article in The Guardian this week that where a girl was talking about the fact that she thought she was working class, and she said something like, well, I went to a private school, but it was a really small one.
Oh, that's like Victoria Wood sketch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought.
Oh, my God.
But no, there is a lady that comes to the blog in a mask with a number of people like the mask. So everyone's
like she's robbing people. Sorry.
No,
I forget that we all have to wear masks. I wear mine, but sometimes
come
forget.
On, Tom. Yeah, and she does my bedding, Tom. She irons my bedding. I wash it and fold it, and then she irons it for me, and really? I pay her.
I bet that's nice.
And honestly, it's the only thing that I do that I think is I feel very bougie doing it. And honestly, when it comes back and it's all,
lovely. And she seems happy with her life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's lovely.
Yeah, great.
She's ever so friendly.
Some people iron their sheets. I think that's great, Suze. It's a lovely treat. And I think
my mum irons my dad's boxers. Isn't that insane?
Left to her own devices, my mum would iron everything. Well, things like t-shirts and stuff. They don't. But I think there's a sense that it's actually good to iron because I think it kills It's good for killing things, like little...
Well, let me tell you, if that's the case, this flat is riddled. Because
the bed is the safest place.
Other than my bed. I can't find my iron. I wanted to find the iron the other day to do a shirt for an online gig. And I just couldn't find it. I had to go with a silk one.
I was going to say, what did you have to do in the end? Wait it down. Wait it down with pegs. Yes. To try and flatten it out. Some people iron their bedding, on the bed.
I feel like... Joel Dommett.
Oh, does he do
it? Or his wife has done that or something. Like, he's shown me something where, I don't know, I feel like Joel does that, but he irons it on his bed or something. Maybe that's wrong.
That's nerd to me. But then, especially if you've got an electric blanket.
What about when you're in it? It'd be a nice way to, toast up the bed.
Wouldn't that be nice? Do you like a hot water bottle, Suze?
Yes. A friend of both of ours, who will remain nameless, not you, after the show, does this thing where he makes his bed like a pitta pocket. So before he goes to bed, he gets a hairdryer, puts the sides down really tight. No, it's not Josh, but close.
Oh, Tom Crane.
Yeah.
I knew it was one of them.
I think Tom Crane wouldn't mind. No.
Tom Crane wouldn't mind. Tom Crane.
There's a hairdryer under the bed.
Wonderful writer on The Last Leg.
He's a wonderful writer. And he's got a really great Radio 4 series. He puts the hairdryer under the bed, so it's full of hot air. And then he jumps in it.
That sounds fun. Only if the outside room was cold, though.
Well, yeah, I don't think you're going to do it when you're, in the Costa del Sol.
Yeah, that would be a terrible idea. But so he's got, sealed bedding.
Well, I think he just sort of, tucks it in.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so then it's like he's jumping in a pitter pocket.
Which is always too hot.
Always too hot. Smother it in butter.
Smothering butter, that's the only way, isn't it? Yeah, that's one of my least favourite breads, actually, pita bread, but that's for another podcast.
Tom, this isn't your bread podcast?
This isn't my breads I have loved, yeah.
But is it actually about the 1970s sitcom? Or is it a sitcom?
Yes.
Bread?
Yeah.
Sitcom? Yeah.
Yeah, with the chicken in the middle of the table, yeah?
Yeah,
with the McGann, wasn't it Joe McGann?
I know nothing about it.
McGann, yeah. It's one of those. One of those brothers, weren't they in it? And what was her name? The mum. Anyway, so ironing bedding, that's a lovely thing to do, Suze. I love this. Also, I've listened to the song, These Are a Few of My Favourite Things. That's a nice song. Also, the jazz version of it.
Oh. Julie Andrews on the jazz flute.
Gaffing it up.
Like an Anchorman.
Jazz flute is so funny. And I know like Lizzo's brought it back, but it still makes me laugh so much. Like the idea of a jazz flute.
When Lizzo gets out her flute, I just think, that sounds like a euphemism. I just think, I'm watching her and I think, I can't love you anymore. And then she gets out a flute and I'm like, yeah, I can.
Yeah, I know. It's wild, isn't it?
I listen to that album constantly, Lizzo's album. It's so good.
It's a good album, isn't it?
Really good.
For a while. My friend Amanda bought me this for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
The Diary of Everyday Pleasures. And one of the things was...
masturbating. Oh, sorry.
yeah, every day. That's all it is.
I've just started on some podcasts.
No, the Wholesome podcast. And then I've been encouraged to write down 10 gratitudes every day, 10 things I'm grateful for.
Oh, that's a really good thing. I tell you what,
pain in the ass.
I do 3 things a day. 10 feels like a lot.
Well,
but I think 10, you're really clutching at straws. Like, oh.
Clutching at straws is one of my 10 things. I just love it. You can repeat things as well. But it's interesting because you do sort of find new things to come up with.
That's good. I'll tell you one thing I'm grateful for today.
Gary Barlow.
And also it's Biden's inauguration, isn't it?
That is. We're doing this on the day of Biden's inauguration, aren't we? Yeah.
Oh, that's
although
good.
I wonder what that's going to be.
Very strange.
I mean, not that it's something I would watch.
No, I mean, and I wouldn't, I don't think in normal times I would have got an invite.
Yeah. Well, you say
that. But actually, I'm kind of...
Yeah. I hope that just, there's a sort of sense of like positivity and hope that comes out of it. I mean,
I really hope so too. It's such a strange time. I can't...
Such a strange time.
I mean, we've spoken about this ad nauseum on the podcast, but honestly, I do think Twitter's just a hellscape now.
Oh, yeah. More and more. I mean...
Like, the question is, like, did the internet make people mad? Someone tweeted something like this, or were loads of people mad and then the internet let us see them all?
Bit of column A, bit of column B. But, yeah, I think it's... And I think as well, I was talking about this yesterday, it sort of encouraged everybody to go... certain people to go, well, I should have an opinion, or I want to have an opinion, so I'll just say something. And then it ends up... They seem to say something... outrageous, or it seems to have fed that a bit.
Yeah, and like, well, it's just my opinion.
It's just my opinion. You go like, well, it's not just your opinion. It's like you.
Yeah, but also this opinion makes you a cunt. So as long as you don't mind me saying that.
Again, wholesome, very wholesome. Sorry to the moms out there. There's all of that sort of thing. There's all of that sort of thing. And you know, it feeds on both sides, isn't it? It's sort of, yeah. Anyway, but maybe I should get TikTok. I'm thinking of getting I know that's. I'm about 2 months behind everybody else.
2 months, you're about a year and a half behind everyone, but that's okay. Uh-huh. If you get a TikTok, I'd love it. If you get a TikTok, I'll get a TikTok.
What do people like mouth along to things?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not really sure what it is. I don't know whether I'm too old for TikTok. You're ageless, no. Tom. You're a gay man. You're ageless.
Since I shaved my head. I'm
aging. But as a woman. As a woman in the entertainment industry, I'm aging terribly, constantly.
Stop it. Oh, I started watching that. Have you seen that French sitcom?
No,
it's called the 10%. it's called the 10%ers, or Call My Agent is actually how they call it here.
But
Netflix, the algorithm was correct for once. It's finally cottoned on to my very specific
sad films from the 70s and anything that's like Gracie and Frankie.
Exactly, and something in a foreign language always goes down well. Because that represents because it represents to me a more positive time when people were more able to travel and things like that.
And you feel smarter because you're like, I'm just watching something French.
Yeah. I feel like there was a time 5 years ago when it was like, oh, of course I watch French.
Can you end the show by seeing the Muppets in French?
Of course. But only I don't think it's correct French, but yeah.
you did that in one of your shows, didn't you?
Yeah, I loved it. It was ridiculous, but I recommend it. It's about a French talent agency, and the main character in the first episode is deemed too old.
Oh my god, I'm gonna watch that, and the actress is gonna be like 3 years younger than me, isn't she?
No, she's not, she's Caron Tudor. 42. Or 41.
Fine.
I think.
Fine, fine. I've got 6 more years.
Is that 41 or 40? I don't know what this is. I was trying to be like, I was like, maybe I could understand it a bit. Subtitles. The only thing I could understand was at one point, one of them says, Fermez la porte. And that's all I can remember from.
Shut the door. Shut the door or shut the window? Shut the door.
The door?
Yeah.
The door. Yeah, Fermez la porte. Fermez la bouche. Shut your mouth.
Oh, yeah. I remember a French teacher saying that.
Fermez la bouche.
Fermez la bouche.
Shut the mouth. But yeah, that was. I watched that. That cheered me right up. I recommend that. It's a wholesome pleasure.
Dimmable
light switches that you can control on your phone.
There you go. And there you can buy things on your phone as well. Do you remember that?
I have actually been buying things on my phone quite a lot. The doorbell doesn't stop. And mum and dad are like, oh, something else has come for you. I'm like, all right.
Sorry.
It's hard to get to the shops. Yeah, I need to buy some Sensodyne.
Of course it is. You aren't allowed to go to shops.
You can't go to shops. So how else am I supposed to validate myself? I bought a 3-pack of Sensodyne yesterday because I was like, when am I going to go to a supermarket or a chemist?
I think we might have peaked on this podcast now.
I just want people to know I do grind my teeth and Sensodyne is the only thing. I'm not sponsored, but...
But if they wanted to...
Do you grind your teeth?
No, I don't think so.
I think I do. I just sort of bite down. But then I know people who sleep with like a rugby mouth guard in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surely I'd be like dreaming about being a rugby player.
Which would be great.
That'd be great. Okay.
It's something to put on your gratitude book. Dreamt I was a rugby player again.
Yeah. Put it on my wish list and then pop it in my gratitude list. Yeah. 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 Because I was listening to a lot of sea shanties and they were bringing me down a bit.
So yeah.
I'm glad I've changed my.
Moana, I'm sending you the link right now.
I am really looking forward to this. I think, yeah, a bit of Disney classics is what I need.
That's exactly what you need.
Yeah, nothing too heavy.
No.
Positive. You know, we're all doing really well. Everybody's doing so well.
Everyone's doing so well. Well, really well. Remember to buy Tom's book. Lots of people are saying lovely things about it, including my friend Faye, who read it a couple of weeks ago and then texted me and said, please tell Tom how much I loved his book. So, guys, remember it's there. And also the audiobook. So, indeed. And we'll see you next time, hopefully next week, on Like Minded Friends.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Okay. Fermez la porte.
Fermez la porte. C'est Tom qui monte la musique. Et dans le maquillage. C'est Tom qui monte la musique. Sur la Muppet pièce ce soir. Bye, everyone.
It's a little bit of the Muppets in French. Okay, bye then. Bye-bye.
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 How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.